Welcome to the NTEB Radio Bible Study with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good evening, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Rightly Dividing. My name is Jeff Greider. I am the editor-in-chief of NowTheEndBegins.com, and tonight, for the next 2 hours, I have the honor and the privilege of being your radio host and Bible teacher. Quite often, people will ask me how they might be able to find out the will of God for themselves in their own lives, and the answer is simpler than it might appear. First, the Bible tells us that God will have all men to be saved. That's step one. That's not hard, right? Step two is, after you get saved, to have a willing mind. Still not so hard, right? Well, the hard part comes after that. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 10 through 12 say, "And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." On this episode of Rightly Dividing, we are looking at how to find the will of God for you in your life, a process so simple that many have overlooked it. Things become clear when we realize that God is not so much calling you to do such and such a thing, but asking you the question, are you willing to do such and such a thing? In Matthew 10:22, Jesus asked James and John if they were able to drink of the cup of his coming suffering. They said quite confidently, "We are able." But the truth is that they, at that time, were more willing than able. But by the time things were all done, James was executed for the Lord, and John was banished on Patmos. Tonight, I want to show you from both the Old and New Testaments that you finding the will of God for your life depends a lot on, well, on how willing you are to see it accomplished. This will be an excellent Bible study for Christians fearfully looking at the COVID confusion swirling all around us and wondering, what does God expect of us? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for all these that you've gathered here live, and for the thousands who will be listening, Father, in the archives. And we just pray, Lord, that something would be said and done that would lead a lost soul to you. And for those of us that are saved, and we rejoice for the number of people that have gotten saved here lately. We're having a little bit of a mini revival, and it's exciting. It's exciting to see Connie and Rita and Demarius and June and Donna Lynn and Thomas. So many people are getting saved through these broadcasts, and so many saved people are getting on fire for the Lord. So, Father God, we just pray that that continues. We pray that you would set a hedge about us and be with us tonight, Lord. Be our honored guest as we lift you up and open up your preserved word in the King James Bible. Lead us and guide us, Father God. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It is well with my soul, and we're going to talk about that song tonight. That song was written by a man who watched almost every single one of his daughters and his wife die in a boat accident. And he wrote that song after that event took place. How can it be well with your soul in the midst of swirling chaos and troubles and trials and tribulations and all these crazy things that are going on? Well, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, it is well with your soul. Paul says that our light affliction worketh but for a moment, whether that's 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. God has his eye on what's coming next, not on what's here and now. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And when you read your King James Bible, God is calling you to look up. He is calling you to a heavenly perspective. And when you have a heavenly perspective, then when you look at legitimately upsetting stories, like yesterday's story, New York City is going to start mandating vaccines and vaccination passports. And if you don't take them, it's going to be big trouble for you. You're not going to be able to go to the grocery store, or the supermarket. You're not going to be able to go to a restaurant or anything like that. That's happening in New York City right now. That's not one day, someday. That's right now. And how about today's story? Here's a good one for you. If you think that forced vaccinations are bad, just wait until the liberals here in America finish construction on the Chinese-style social credit system. And all this upheaval and lockdowns and mask wearing and mandated vaccines and gain-of-function Chinese viruses and all these different things. It's all part of the Great Reset. It's all leading you to the same place. The article here about the Chinese-style social credit system here in America, here's a line for you. The most surprising thing about our new social credit system won't be the collective fear of it, but rather how quickly most people will fall in line. And that's the truth. Our world is changing. It is never, ever going back to what it was. If you're waiting for a return to normalcy, you're going to be waiting for a very, very long time. Things are moving very rapidly now. We've been talking about this for 17 months. Well, we've been talking about it for 12 years. But the rest of the world caught up with us 17 months ago. And that's the truth. And we've been talking about this for 17 months, and everything that we told you was going to happen is happening. We told you the vaccines were coming, and they came. We told you that the vaccines would be mandatory. A lot of you didn't believe us, but here we are. Vaccine passports, lockdowns, the Excelsior Pass, the Microsoft Daily Pass in the Los Angeles Unified School District out in California. Emmanuel Macron over in France forcing his people, and in Germany, the UK, Spain, the Philippines. I'm getting a lot of messages from the Philippines. They're shutting down the grocery stores. If you don't have the vaccine, if you can't prove that you've taken the vaccine, you can't buy food. And everything that we told you was coming is either here or it's in the process. And things are going to get much worse, much, much, much worse. And this is why we meet as many times as we do, and we open up God's Word, and we see, what does God have to tell us today? And today, it's going to be a little bit of Bible teaching. It's going to be a little bit of preaching. I'm going to talk to you today, Lord willing, about God's will for you in your life and how you can quickly and easily find it. It's not hard. And in fact, when I show you how you find God's will for you in your life, you may reject it as being too simple. But God doesn't make things excessively hard for his children. Jesus said to the apostles, he said, unto you that it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, it's a mystery wrapped in a riddle. And I'm massively paraphrasing that verse from Luke 8:10. Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see and hearing they might not understand. But if you're saved, if you're born again, you have that Holy Spirit of promise. And all you have to do is open up your King James Bible and believe what you read in the context that you read it in after you rightly divide it. Very glad that you're here tonight. And it is true, we are almost home.
Disappointed? Are you desperate for help? You know what it's like to be tired and only a shell of yourself. Will you start to believe you don't have what it takes? 'Cause it's all you can do just to move, much less finish the race. Don't forget what lies ahead. Almost home, brother, it won't be long. Soon all your burdens will be gone. With all your strength, sister, run loud, run free. Hold up your head. Heaven to us, but make no mistake, there's still more to come when our flesh and our bone are no longer between where we are right now and where we're meant to be. When all that's been lost is made whole.
Brother, it won't be.
are almost home. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, here's a passage that we go to on a fairly regular basis. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." That is our blessed hope. Our Titus 2:13, our Flight 777, blessed hope of the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And while we wait, we stay busy on the front lines of the end times. While we wait, we witness and we hand out gospel tracts, and we preach and we teach, warning every man of the judgment which is to come, and reminding the saints that it's time to get busy. I added some new books to the bookstore this week, some very exciting books that I was thrilled to be able to get. And I created a brand new section in the bookstore. And if you've never been to our online bookstore, we invite you to go www.biblebeliever.com. You can go and check it out. But I created a brand new section today called Defending the King James Bible. And I added a number of books in there that will help you when somebody says to you, "Well, where was God's preserved word before 1611? And other silly, silly questions like that. There's a book called "Which Bible Would Jesus Use?" by Jack McElroy. And we've been trying for months to get that book in the bookstore, and we have it. And I was so excited that we have it that I created this brand new section called, it's under books. If you go to the bookstore, it's under books, and it's called Defending the KJB. And I have 6 books there so far: New Age Bible Versions, Why the King James Bible is the Perfect Word of God, The Errors in the King James Bible, Manuscript Evidence, Bible Version Secrets Exposed, and Which Bible Would Jesus Use? And I recommend that you get that book. This is a fantastic book that will help you to understand why we say that the King James Bible is the place where God has preserved his word. You can make that case, and the best part, because it's true, you can defend that case. So please go to BibleBeliever.com. That's our online bookstore, or come and visit us here in St. Augustine, Florida, 701 Market Street in America's oldest city. And we're open 6 days a week, Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and we're open Saturdays from 10 to 2. If you are planning on stopping by, Monica and her family were here last weekend, and it was great meeting them. Jennifer and her family were here a couple of weeks ago, and Chris and his wife showed up, and all sorts of people have been stopping by to visit and to check out the books and to make sure that they're building their end times library. Look, even if the rapture, we knew for a fact that the rapture was going to be Friday. This may be a shocker to some of you, but if I knew for a fact that the rapture was going to be Friday at 6 p.m., I wouldn't change anything I'm doing right now. I would still be working for the Billboard program. I would still be shipping out free King James Bibles to people. I would still be doing the podcast on Friday afternoon. I would still be preaching and teaching the Word of God. Even if I knew for a fact that the rapture was Friday at 6 p.m., because we are called to hold the line. We are called to be soldiers for the Lord Jesus Christ. Soldiers don't shrink from the fight. They don't abandon their post. Soldiers fight because that's what soldiers do. Patty said, I might be praying a little bit more. Oh, absolutely. I might be praying a little bit more too. But in terms of even if we knew that the rapture was just a couple of days away, we're still going to send out the free Bibles to people who would be raptured on the other end. Why would we do that? Because that's what we were called to do. And tonight's Bible study, we're talking about being willing to do what God has called you to do. Sometimes God just wants you to be willing. Sometimes God just wants to know the condition of your heart, and he'll put something on you, and he never asks you to do it, but he wants you to be willing to do it. And other times, God asks you to do something, and he absolutely wants you to do it, even though it might come at a great cost to you. So tonight we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It's a great chapter on giving. And we're going to talk a little bit about giving, not much. But the real gem, the real thing that I want to draw your attention to in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 is not so much the giving, but verse 12 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, where it says, for if there be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according that he hath not. It all depends on how willing you are. Are you willing? If God called you, would you go? That's what we're going to find out tonight. And as we do, you're going to find out the will of God for you in your life.
Condemned to die on a cross for crimes he had done. The thief was guilty, everyone could see. But his destiny was changed as he looked at Christ and said, when your kingdom comes, remember me. Said, friend, how did you come? What are the deeds you have done? With tears in his eyes, I can hear him reply. There are no merits to my name, no works that I can claim. He who brought me here told me to. My guilt and my shame,
I could not find my way until this glorious light of love shone down on me. His mercy washed all my sin away.
And what he did for me that day was a price I know he paid. By his grace, I too can say,
forever say,
I have come by the way of the cross. I have come by the way of the cross.
It is nothing I have done. It's the suffering of
יברכך אדוני וישמרך. יאר אדוני פניו אליך ויחונקה. יישא אדוני פניו אליך וישם לך שלום.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Heavenly Father, we come before you once again and we ask for your blessing on tonight's program as we open up your word to preach and teach your word, Father. Melissa has a praise report. My six-year-old son has been reading his Bible the past week and a half. Told me he's going to be reading it every day because he wants to grow closer to God. Amen. I am so proud of him. I pray that he continues on this path. And Melissa says that she is praying over him. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's true. You pour it in, it will be there. Maria Comfort has a special prayer request. She said that she has a lot of gospel tracts that she would like to hand out to people, but she has a hard time getting around. She's 85. She would like us to pray that she would find other ways to get those tracts out to people. Lori says, asking prayer for my friend and sister in Christ, Cheryl D., who is in the hospital with COVID. Dan says, pray for his girlfriend who really needs to move from New York City. She needs a solution for financial needs to move and to find a good place to call her new home. Satman says, could you pray for my stepdaughter as she is at a local college and she was told that as soon as the FDA approves the vaccine, and we're going to be talking about that on the podcast on Friday, as soon as the FDA approves the vaccine, that they are mandating the faculty to be vaccinated, and she is woke and will have to quit her job. Tina says, prayer request for my boss. She's getting a surgery, and also for my family's salvation. Gia Camino, I have a meeting with my surgeon tomorrow to read the ultrasound from last week. Please pray that I don't need another surgery. Shauna, praise report. Asked for prayers for my friend Kelly and family with COVID, and they are getting better each day. Amen. And all are at home. Thank you and praise God. Indeed. Amen. Juanita, I really don't want to go into the details, but I desperately need prayer for my siblings. And I think we all have siblings that we need prayer for. And Juanita wants prayer for hers. Gary 33, prayer request, please continue praying for my co-worker as she is in the trauma unit after a car accident from 2 weeks ago. She is doing much better and God is healing her. Amen. Patty, my aunt and uncle in Florida have COVID. Oh boy, a lot of people here in Florida have COVID. And Patty wants prayer for her aunt and uncle, and we're going to lift them up tonight. William, please pray for my mother. She can barely see. Her eyes are clouded over. Shannon K., please pray for a young lady by the name of Micaiah. She had never seen a gospel tract before. Amen, amen, amen. Get out there and hand out those gospel tracts. And we're going to pray for the salvation of Micaiah tonight. Tina, need prayer for my siblings. I mentioned to you last time that my former pastor here in St. Augustine is sick with COVID. I think he's getting better, but the church is temporarily closed. I think a lot of people here have COVID. And please continue to keep Daniel King in your prayers. And Clayton Perry, he's been battling cancer and he's getting ready for more chemotherapy. Please keep Clayton Perry in your prayers as well. And also, keep me in your prayers. I'm going to be going to the viewing for Mark Bennett, who passed away last Friday from COVID. And I'm a little apprehensive about going into a group setting up in Jacksonville, but the Lord will get me through, and I have the utmost confidence in his ability to do that. But please pray for Mark's wife, Anita, and their young son, Kingsley, that he left behind when he passed away on Friday. Gia Camino says, praise report. My friend Jeff, who has COVID, is recovering quickly. Amen. We don't hear enough of those stories, and it's really good to hear them. Buddy says, please pray for my church folks. It is a good church, but the world is really tugging. And I want you to pray for a young man by the name of Joshua. Very, very confused about the Bible, but he's a Bible teacher. And he is causing much dissension among the brethren. And I want you to pray for Joshua. At this point, I don't even know if he's saved or not saved. But he's certainly talking like somebody who does not know the Lord. And I want you to pray for his salvation. Pray for Jesse's salvation. Pray for Chelsea out on the West Coast. Pray for Lori D. God knows what the needs are there. Pray for Amanda and Jacqueline in New Mexico. Angel says, prayers for my daughter Tina, who is traveling for a job to Colorado. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, God, for all these that you've gathered here. And Lord, we thank you for all the praise reports tonight. That's really, really good to hear a lot of praise reports and a lot of people who are recovering from COVID. It seems that we hear a story about somebody who died from COVID and the other 100 stories about people who made it through don't even count. We don't even listen to them. But we thank you, God, for all the answered prayer that you've been giving us here when we meet together as a church family. And we thank you, God, and we praise you for that. Carol Jane says, please pray for my friend's brother and sister-in-law with COVID. And at some point, just about everybody you know, including yourself, is going to be touched by COVID. And there's three other variants lined up. We're dealing with Delta. There's Gamma, Beta, and Lambda. And there's going to be a lot more than that, too. This thing is judgment from God, and it's not going away. So it's very, very, and that's why we're doing tonight's Bible study, that you can know God's will, that God wants you to be willing to serve him and to follow him. Kimmy D says, praise report, I found an apartment. Amen. I'm staying with my aunt until it's renovated. Amen, amen, amen. And I hope your aunt is saved. And if not, we're going to pray for her too. And Lord, for all these prayer requests for healing from COVID and other diseases like cancer and surgeries and all sorts of things like that, please work and move in a mighty way, God. And meet the needs of all the people that are gathered here today. Only you know the needs, God. And we ask you to meet them, and we ask you to work and move in a mighty way. Lord, we keep our prayers simple around here. We thank you for the food. We thank you for the clothing. We thank you for the shelter. We thank you for waking us up today. We thank you for allowing us to get something done for you. It's an honor, Lord, and it's a blessing and it's a privilege. And you're a good God. Even if you did nothing else for us, you saved us. And that's everything. So, Lord, I pray for Marie Comfort. Give her new ways to hand out these gospel tracts. She's willing, Lord. And that's what we're talking about tonight, having a willing mind and a willing heart to serve you. And she's willing. And so many people here, Lord, are willing. And they want to, and they are. And we ask you, God, to work and move in a mighty way. Chris says, prayer for me to leave New York City. Chris wants to get out. New York City is a good place to get out from. And Father, we thank you. We praise you for this time, and we commit it to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Welcome, everybody. Glad you're here for the Bible study tonight. Please, if you would be so kind, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And we're going to read probably the whole chapter. I want to give you the context, as I told you at the beginning. Chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, it's a commendation of the giving of the Macedonian churches. And back in the first century times, it was really, really hard to get a church going because the Romans were persecuting and the Jews were persecuting and people were constantly being hauled off to prison. We think we have it tough now. It's nowhere near as tough as they had it in that first century. And so giving was extremely, extremely important in the first century church. It's important today, but it was really important in the first century church. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, starting in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. So let's just stop right there. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. Paul is commending the Macedonian church for their giving, even though they didn't have very, very much money. But what they had, they were willing to give up for the furtherance of the gospel. And Paul says in verse 3, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gifts and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. So again, Paul is commending the Macedonian church because they don't have much money, but their attitude and their heart and their mind, they're giving like they're millionaires. They are giving happily, willingly. And we're going to see in just a couple of verses why that word willingly is so important. Tonight's message is not about giving. I'm taking my text tonight from a chapter that is about giving, but we're very quickly going to move past the giving part to the giving of yourself part, which has nothing to do with your money. Verse 6 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound to this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. Now look what Paul says in verse 9. Look what Paul says in verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, not talking about money, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice. Now, the Apostle Paul is a really good person to take advice from. Jesus said that Paul was his hand-picked representative to open up the eyes of the blind and to let the prisoners out of the prison house and to turn them from Satan unto the living God. So when Paul says, and herein I give my advice, we should pay a close heed. Verse 10, and herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago, talking about giving to the Macedonian church. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. That's Exodus 16:18. So do you see what the Apostle Paul is saying? I want you to focus on verse 12, because verse 12 is where I take my text for tonight's Bible study on. And I told you at the beginning that this Bible study was going to help you to find God's will for your life. Verse 12 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that that he hath not. And herein we find the key for the Christian who wants to find the will of God for them as an individual in their life. It starts with you having a willing mind to do what God has called you to do. In Exodus 35, verses 4 and 5, Exodus 35, 4 and 5, and Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord, whosoever is of a willing heart, and let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass. Exodus 35, verses 4 and 5. And again, I don't want you to focus on the giving part. I want you to focus on the willing part. Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord, whosoever is of a willing heart. Do you think that the Apostle Paul was thinking about Exodus 35 when he wrote this from 2 Corinthians 9:7? 2 Corinthians 9:7. Every man according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, when God saved you, Dr. Ruckman said many, many times, I heard him say this many times, when you got saved, it's not getting something for nothing, it's getting everything for nothing. That's what happened when you got saved. You know what the Bible says about God? John 14, 14. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. 1 Thessalonians 5, 24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. You see how willing God is to do something for you? If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Ezekiel 24, 14. I, the Lord, have spoken it. It shall come to pass, and I will do it. I will not go back, neither will I spare, neither will I repent. According to thy ways and according to thy doings shall they judge thee, saith the Lord God. Wouldn't it be great if we had that attitude? I, the Lord, have spoken it. It shall come to pass, and I will do it. I will not go back, neither will I spare, neither will I repent. Wouldn't that be great if that was our attitude? We might paraphrase that verse by saying, the Lord has spoken to me, and it shall come to pass, and I will do it. I will not go back. I will not spare. I will not quit. I will not turn around. I'll not change my mind. He's called me to do something, and I'm going to do it. Back in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12, for if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that that he hath not. We've talked about these two women many times. It was 1872 when D.L. Moody decided to go to England for a time of learning from the great English preachers of his day. Moody had decided that he was just going to merely sit and listen, and he wasn't going to do any ministry of his own. One of the pastors named John Lessey, upon hearing that Moody was in town, begged him to preach in his pulpit Sunday night, Sunday morning. Reluctantly, Moody accepted the request of this pastor. The morning sermon didn't go very well at all. The people were not responsive. They were bored. They didn't want to be there. Moody preached. He had no power. He didn't really want to preach that night because of the incredible apathy that he had seen that morning, but he kept his word. He didn't change his mind, and he preached that night. Well, when Moody got behind the pulpit that Sunday night in 1872, it was a completely different story. The vibe had changed completely. People were on the edge of their seats. They were listening carefully. Some people were even getting emotional. What a huge change had taken place between the morning and the evening sermon. At the end of the service, Moody decided to ask those who wanted to commit their lives to Christ and to join the church to stand up so he could pray for them. So many people stood up that Moody, shocked, confused, he told them to sit back down. He started preaching the gospel again, thinking that the first time he must have left something out. He must have made a mistake or did something wrong. Boldly, he called them to repentance and to trust in Christ and Christ alone. And he did it much more strongly than he did it the first time. So again, he asked if anybody wanted to get saved. He was stunned when even more people stood up the next time. Moody, still incredulous, based on the fact that these people seemed to want to throw tomatoes at him during the morning service, he closed the service and told the crowd that if anybody wanted to come to Christ, he and the pastor would meet them after the service. When he went to the back room, the room was full. Moody started to get suspicious. Moody started to realize that somebody was praying for him. Well, his investigations led him to a little old lady by the name of Marion Adlard. And she was sick. She was a widow and she was sick. She had missed the morning service, and she wasn't even there when Moody was there. She had known about Moody for a couple of years. She knew about the work that he did in Chicago with all those orphans. So this woman began to pray for Dwight Moody. In fact, she often prayed that Moody one day would come to London. Well, on this particular day, Moody not only came to London, but he came to her church. And a huge revival broke out. And the whole thing was traced back to a widow sick in her bed, unable to attend church, who was willing. 2 Corinthians 8:12 says, "For if there first be a willing mind," this woman was willing to believe God and to pray in that God would do it, and God did it. John 14:14, "If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." And this sick old woman, her prayers were so powerful that she prayed D.L. Moody all the way to her church, and then revival broke out. Can you imagine what would have happened if this woman was not willing to do when God put on her heart, would you start praying for my servant Moody? And this sick woman who couldn't get out of bed, she said, yes, Lord, I'll pray for D.L. Moody. Who was this woman? She's nobody. D.L. Moody is the big famous guy. But this anonymous woman who couldn't even get out of bed prayed D.L. Moody all the way to her church across the ocean. Tonight we're talking about being willing to do the will of God. I'm not talking about being willing to be willing. That's what the Laodiceans say. You've got to bring something to the table. You don't pray, God, make me willing to be willing. I mean, you got to do something. But tonight we're talking about being willing to do the will of God. I'm not talking about your spiritual gifts, and we're not even going to mention spiritual gifts tonight because they are not the focus, and giving is not the focus. The focus is being willing to do the will of God. And when you are, that's where incredible, miraculous, amazing things begin to happen. That's when incredible things begin to take place. When you are willing, God says yes, and we'll be right back after this break.
And all of the angels cry.
And we are back for hour two of tonight's Bible study on finding the will of God. I see in the chat room during the break a question broke out on tithing. What is the biblical stance on tithing? Well, tithing was a command given to the Jews under the law. Malachi 3:10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. And tithing is one of those things that is one of the most misused doctrines in the entire Bible. And a lot of the Laodicean pastors, they misuse and misapply tithing because they have million-dollar ministries and they live in 24,000 square foot mansions and they sit down on golden toilet bowls. So tithing is very, very popular with people like Kenneth Copeland and Paula White and Joel Osteen and all those people. But there is no command in the Bible, in the New Testament, in the writings of Paul, there is no command to tithe. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9:7, every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. But on the other side of the equation, the Bible also says in 2 Corinthians 9:6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So what's the church age New Testament command under the Apostle Paul? Paul calls you to be a generous giver. Paul calls you to be a cheerful giver, not because you have to, but because you want to. Now, there is no command to tithe, but have I tithed? Absolutely, I have. And many, many times, God has responded in miraculous ways, but it's not a commandment to do that. I was given a great gift last year, and I took that gift that was given to me as a tithe, and I tithed that gift because that's what God laid on my heart to do, and I was very happy to do it. So, if you're in a church where the pastor is telling you that you are under a contractual obligation to tithe, that pastor is telling you something that is not true. There is no command for the Christian to tithe. But, can you tithe? Would God give you an extra blessing if you did? Well, he's blessed me that way, and that's really all I can say about that. Southern Bell just said, we don't give a percent. We just cheerfully give as little or as much as we feel led to. And that pretty much sums it up. I got a letter today from a reader that had an encouraging note inside, and they sent me a $1 bill. It almost brought tears to my eyes that somebody would care enough to write me a note and to put a dollar into the envelope. They gave that all that they could, and they gave it cheerfully and happily. I believe that caused much rejoicing in heaven over that dollar that I took out of the envelope. And when you see things like that, you're standing on some really holy ground. When that widow gave her two mites, if you were to look at that through secular eyes, It wouldn't seem like much at all when the Pharisees and the Sadducees were putting in bags of gold, and this widow just has two mites, two pennies. That's not really very much. But Jesus said that that widow gave more than they all, because she gave out of her poverty, and they gave out of their abundance. So, whether you tithe or don't tithe is not really the issue. NTM says, what about tithing your time and services? Yeah, that's absolutely a great thing to do. Tonight we're talking about being willing to serve the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. So let's talk about some of the things that God might ask you to be willing to do. Turn to the Gospel of John chapter 21. Turn to the Gospel of John chapter 21. Let me show you what Peter was willing to do. And let's see if you could do this, okay? John chapter 21, starting in verse 17. We're going to go 17 to 19 of John 21. This is what Peter was willing to do that Jesus wanted him to do. John 21, 17. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. But he didn't stop there. Verse 18, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girded thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he, Peter, should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Now that's real giving in the Bible. Jesus prophesied over Peter, and he said, Peter, when you were young, you could call your own shots. You could go where you wanted to go. But when you get a little older, they're going to come for you, Pete, and they're going to put you on a cross just like they put me on a cross, and they're going to kill you just like they killed me. Now, Pete, I want you to do this thing, because when you do it for the sake of the gospel, when you do it for the sake of the kingdom, when you do it because I'm asking you to do it, you're going to bring glory to God. Will you do it, Peter? Peter did it. In fact, the historical record says that when that day came for Peter, he turned to the Romans who were there to crucify him, and he said, I am not willing to be crucified the same way that my Lord was. Put me upside down. Make it even more uncomfortable. Because a regular crucifixion, that's what you gave Jesus. I don't deserve something that cushy. Make it harder for me. Do you see what God considers a willing mind and a willing heart? It's relatively easy to give money. And giving money to the ministry it's pretty important. Without your giving, we wouldn't have a billboard program. Without your giving, we wouldn't be handing out 1,100 free King James Bibles every single month. The only way that we can do that is because you guys give. So from that perspective, the giving part is pretty important to a ministry. Without your giving, we couldn't keep the lights on. But it goes deeper than that. Once you got the giving part down, once you're willing to separate your money from your wallet and give it to the cause of Christ, that sets a great foundation. Now you can really begin to give away things that are very, very important. The greatest gift that Peter ever gave to Jesus Christ was following him to the cross and being willing. Remember 2 Corinthians 8:12, for if there be first a willing mind, Peter was willing to lay down his life for the Lord Jesus Christ. We've talked about Elizabeth Elliot. Her and her husband were called to be missionaries. And at the very beginning of their life together as married missionaries, her husband was killed, brutally murdered, on the mission field. And when she prayed about it, God said, "Now go back there and win those people to me." And she did. That's what the Bible means when it talks about having a willing heart. We're praying for Marie Comfort tonight. She is willing to hand out more gospel tracts, but she doesn't have the opportunity because she needs a wheelchair to get around. She has a great spirit. She is absolutely willing to serve the Lord, but she struggles getting around. So we're praying that God would open up new ways for her to hand out those gospel tracts and to witness to people. But let me ask you a question. Marie Comfort is 85 years old, and she prays every single day with tears in her eyes that God would give her more ways to witness because she's kind of stuck where she is. Well, how about you who's not stuck where you are? How about you who can get in your car and go wherever, whenever? You can go to the mall, you can go to the supermarket, you can go to get gas, you can go to the beach, you can drive downtown to the big city. What are you doing? We're all called to be witnesses. There's not one single person listening to this broadcast right now who is not called to be a witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not one. Every single one of us, man, women, children, if you're saved, you're called to be a witness. Marie Comfort is praying that God would give her new ways to witness because she has trouble getting around. But you don't have trouble getting around. Are you witnessing? Are you filling your pockets with gospel tracts? When you go to the car wash, do you hand one out? I got a cheeseburger tonight at Culver's restaurant here in St. Augustine. And I'm waiting there. If you've ever been to Culver's, you go through the line, you order your food, and then you pull up into this parking area. They stick a number on your driver's side rearview mirror. And then you wait there with your window open, and they find your number, and they give you the food that you ordered. Well, when the young man who brought my food got to my car, I took the food, I thanked him, I handed him an NTEB gospel track, and I said, "You need to answer this question before today is over. This is the most important question that anybody's ever going to ask you." And he flipped that card over, and he read that question. If you were to die tonight... And his face, it looked like he had seen a ghost. He went from a big smile to shock. And I guarantee you, he's going to be asking himself that question over and over and over. I just had a little short window of witness with him. The place was very busy. He had to get back inside. But what did that cost me to do that? Nothing. I had the gospel track. All I had to do was be willing. I'm not the world's greatest speaker. I stutter over my words. I lose my train of thought from time to time. I'm not this super confident, always outgoing person. Half of the time, I'm really kind of an introvert. The other half of the time, I'm not. But what I'm trying to tell you is, witnessing doesn't come easy to me. I do it, and it's gotten a whole lot easier because I do a lot of it. But I still have to remind myself to get in the fight, to get in the game, and to do what I call you guys to do. And I do that. I do it as much as I possibly can. But you see, it's not about being a great speaker. It's not about being a great witness. It's not about being a super Christian. It's about being willing. When Jesus came to this earth, he said, "I am here to do the will of him that sent me." Well, how about you? Are you here to do the will of him that saved you? It's not about having all these gifts and talents and who does what and, oh, he's such a great speaker or she's such a great singer. Are you willing to praise the Lord with your voice? Then don't let the fact that you're not a good singer stop you. I'm not a good singer, but I love to sing for the Lord. I love to praise him with my voice. Whenever I play these songs on these programs, I'm always singing along. Sometimes I'll keep the microphone on and I'll sing along with you guys. But I'm not a good singer, but I'm willing to sing for the Lord. So do you see the difference there? If you're waiting for your gifts, stop waiting. It doesn't matter what your gifts are. If you're willing to serve the Lord, God will reveal your gifts to you over time. I was shocked when God called me to be an evangelist. And I'll just quickly tell you the story. Many of you know that I got saved while I was working as an actor in Hollywood. And even though I would have to look into the camera and say words, I was never confident about it. I was always thinking I'm going to stutter, I'm going to stumble, I'm going to trip over my words. And it was always a lot of pressure for me. But one day I got a job working on this movie about homeless people. And God really broke my heart for homeless people. And when this particular movie was done, I was driving through a large city, not far from where I was living at the time. And I noticed that there was a little rescue mission called the Good Shepherd Rescue Mission in a town called Paterson, New Jersey. And God just tugged on my heart to go into that place and to offer my services. And I really didn't know. I was a baby Christian, and I really didn't know what I was going to say. But I went in there, I followed the Lord, and I went inside and I started talking with the manager of the rescue mission. And I told him that I wanted to volunteer my services. And he says, "That's great. What can you do?" Now, God had been putting on my heart to be a preacher, but I didn't share that with him. I had no confidence to do that. So I told him that I could play the piano. That I was very confident that I could do. I've been playing the piano since I was 9. Playing the piano comes relatively easy to me. So I told him that I could play the piano, and he took my name and number, and he thanked me. And he said, I'll get back to you. A couple weeks later, he calls me up and said, hey, we have a pastor who's been coming to the rescue mission every other Tuesday for 10 years. And when I mentioned to him that you played the piano, he asked if you would come and play while he leads the men in singing. Now, he had been working with these men for years, and they were really good singers. I mean, they were great singers. And so this man asked me if I would come down on a Tuesday night and play the piano for the pastor. I said, absolutely. I am willing to do that. But when I got there, and I'm walking in through the back of the house, he meets me at the back, and he looked like he was under a lot of stress. And as we're walking from the back of the place to the front of the place, he's asking me if I'm all prayed up, and you know, he's asking me all these questions. And I thought it was a little much. All I was there to do was simply to play the piano. And that's when he explained to me that that's not all that he needed me to do. Long story short, the pastor who had been there every other Tuesday for 10 years could suddenly no longer make it, and he was not going to be there that night. He asked me if I could preach a message. Now, that's a little bit different than playing the piano. And because he hadn't asked me if I could play a message, I didn't have anything prepared other than my regular Bible study. Now, when we get back from the break, I'm going to tell you what happened when I stood in that pulpit that night, 25 years ago, and I was willing to serve the Lord. When we come back from this break, I'm going to tell you what happened.
This boat and then onto the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown, where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The waves, they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you never win. You never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. To listen and believe the voice of truth. Oh, what I would do to have the kind of strength it takes to stand before a giant with just a sing and a storm. Surrounded by the sound of a thousand warriors shaking in their armor, wishing they'd have had the strength to stand.
But the giants calling out my name and they laughs at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The giant keeps on telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never win, you'll never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory.
And we're back for the last half hour of tonight's Bible study, How You Can Find the Will of God for You in Your Life. Right before the break, I was telling you about the time that I went to the Good Shepherd Rescue Mission in Paterson, New Jersey, following the will of God and being willing to be a fool for Christ by offering my services. And I didn't really have any services. In fact, the only thing I really had was the fact that I was willing. That's all I had. And then it led me to a situation where I volunteered to play the piano for a pastor who was leading 40 homeless men in singing. And then when I get there, the pastor's not there. And not only do I have to play the piano, I have to lead them in the singing. And then I have to preach a message that I did not intentionally prepare. But I was willing. Do you see where my willingness to be willing led me? It led me into a situation that I had no idea was about to transpire. No clue of any kind. How do you find the will of God for you in your life? You are willing to follow the Lord. And as he opens up doors, you walk through them and you do what God has put on your heart to do. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit. If you're saved, you should be reading your Bible on a daily basis. Don't be a lazy Christian. Open up your Bible, read the Bible, let God talk to you, and you talk to God. So me doing that led me to this homeless shelter where instead of just playing the piano, I wound up preaching a message. I stood in that pulpit and I had sweat all down my back. What am I going to tell these guys, these 40 homeless men who have probably heard 1,000 different sermons? And I just said a quick prayer and said, Lord, what do I tell them? He said, tell them how you got saved. So the very first message that I ever preached was on John 3:16, because that's how I got saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's what saved me on March 14th, 1991. So here in 1993, I stood up and I preached on John 3:16, and I basically gave my testimony. And I've told you this story before. When it was all done, all the men filed out, and there was a young man sitting in the back with his head down. He wouldn't even lift up his head to talk with me. And when he did, he had tears in his eyes. He said, you preach tonight on hell. I don't want to go there. Tell me how I can be saved. And while I was having that conversation with this young man, his name was Willie, about 20 of the men had come back into the room quietly, and they formed a circle, a half circle around me and Willie. And the one man turned to me and he gave me his hand. We all took hands. And he said, let's pray him home, brother. And I'll never forget that. I have goosebumps going up and down my body right now thinking about that night. The very first time I ever preached with no preparation, intentional preparation, I mean. And God blessed me with a soul. The very first time I ever opened my mouth. And I knew right then and there, had nothing to do with me. I was willing. God did everything. Do you see where being willing takes you? I could not have orchestrated that. I had been saved for about a year and a half when this thing happened. And it was the absolute desire of my heart to be a preacher, to be an evangelist. I had no confidence, but I was willing to get saved. I was willing to read the Bible. I was willing to pray to God. I was willing to step out when he said, go into that rescue shelter and go volunteer yourself. And I said, but Lord, I have nothing to volunteer. He said, then just go up to them and tell them that you're willing to volunteer something. And believe me when I tell you, I felt like an idiot when I did that. And even the manager looked at me and he said, you really can't do anything? I'm like, well, I'm an actor. I can act. I can play the piano. And we... we wound up having a pretty good laugh over it. But let me tell you something. Let me tell you the serious part. By me being willing to step out, God had already prepared everything else. God knew that that pastor wasn't going to be there that Tuesday night. God knew that I had to have something to preach on, and I had been studying rather heavily, kind of like preparing for the sermon that nobody was asking me to prepare for. But the thing that made the difference, none of that would have happened if I had not been willing to be a fool for Jesus Christ. And when I did those things, I discovered what it was that God saved me to do. He saved me to be a preacher, and he saved me to be a Bible teacher. And off and on, I have been doing those things for just about 27 years now. I've been doing Now the End Begins for the last 12 years. 2 years, a year and a half ago, when I was praying about it, God told me, I want you in this ministry full time. He said, I'm going to open up the doors to make that possible. I want you in this ministry full time. And I said, yes, Lord, I'm willing to do that. And through this ministry, God is doing amazing things. We sent a Bible out to a woman named Connie. We sent it out 2 days ago. And she got saved right here on this program on Sunday. Or maybe it was Monday. It was a couple of days ago. And we have seen God do so many amazing things through all of us here at Now the End Begins. And the one common thread is that everybody is willing to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how do you find God's will for you in your life? You're willing. Romans 11:29, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. How do you find God's call for your life? You open up that book, you read that book, he talks to you, you talk to him. And remember, the Bible says that God is not in the earthquake, he's not in the whirlwind. He's in the still, small voice. And God will say to somebody, hey, why don't you go up and give that person a word of encouragement? Hey, why don't you go hand this gospel tract out to somebody? Hey, why don't you go visit that sick person or that person who's in a nursing home and has nobody to visit them? And it's in the 101 tiny little moments where God says, are you willing to stand for me in this situation? And when you do that, it opens up a whole new situation that you had no idea was even there. And so you don't have to spend your time running around, what are my gifts? What can I do? If you do what's in front of you, God will show you what your gifts are. I was shocked when God called me to be a preacher. I didn't think that that was never a childhood dream of mine. I wanted to be a rich and famous actor. That was my childhood dream. And I was about halfway towards realizing that dream when God brought everything to a standstill and said, hey, I think it's time for me and you to have a conversation. And I remember the night that I got saved, I was very willing to bow myself before God and do whatever he told me to do. And over the last 30 years, I've had highs and lows and ups and downs, starts and stops. I've gone 100 miles an hour and I've gone off the cliff and come back again. And every possible situation that you could think of, just about, I've experienced as I have been trying to get closer and closer to God's perfect will for me in my life. And every day I do what he's put in front of me to do. But it all started all those years ago. Was I willing to go into a homeless shelter and make a fool of myself to serve the Lord? If you would have told me 27 years later, you're going to have a huge global ministry And all this, God's going to do all this great stuff. But it's got to start here. You got to pull your car off to the side of the road. You got to go into that homeless shelter and go make a fool out of yourself. That's step one. Well, that's how you do it biblically. 2 Corinthians 8:12. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. God's never going to call you to do something that you can't do. Did I have the power to pull my car off to the side of the road and walk into that homeless shelter and offer my services? Absolutely. That was a really easy thing to do. And all I had to do was be willing to do it. 2 Peter 3:1 says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior." And here in 2 Peter 3:1, Peter is trying to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and by the commandments of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. God gave us a book, a big book, and it took 1,500 years of earth time for that book to be finished. I think that's, from God's perspective, that's a pretty important book. And if you want to find out God's will for your life, God's will for your life is in that book. It's not in the advice from your friends. It's not in counsel from your pastor. Many of people's lives have been derailed by having a well-meaning Christian friend come up to them and say, "I have a word from the Lord for you today. This is what I think God wants you to do." I would highly advise that you don't listen to those people. I try never to say that to somebody else. And the reason why I say that is because you need to go to the well and draw your own water. Somebody else is not going to be able to say, "Okay, God gave me instructions for you. Is that how it works?" Not really. It works when you go to the Lord. It works when you open the book. It works when you pray. And too many times I have seen, well, I want to say that they're well-meaning, but maybe they're not well-meaning. Too many times I have seen other people stick their nose into somebody else's business and try to tell them that this is God's will for you because God told me God's will for you in your life. And again, I wouldn't listen to that type of advice. I wouldn't listen to those people. Now, it's a very good thing if you have Christian brothers and sisters who can give you good and godly counsel. That's a very important thing. That's biblical. And we need that. I have men in my life that I get godly counsel from, and I thank God for those men. But they're not telling me what God's will for me is. The only person who can tell me God's will for me is when I go to the Lord and He talks to me personally. Now, some people will say to me, "But God doesn't talk to me." Well, why not? John chapter 10, Jesus says, "My sheep know me, and they hear my voice, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." It's a Bible promise that if you're one of God's children, you hear his voice and you follow him. Why do you need somebody else's opinion if you're saved, if you have the Holy Spirit, and you're doing what you're told to do, which is open up that book and read it? God will talk to you as much as you want to have a conversation with him. And that's a Bible promise. And I would say, over all the years that I've been in ministry, on whatever level, I have never met anybody that was incapable of hearing from God after they became saved. Now, I have met Christians who were not hearing from God for whatever reason was going on in their life. Maybe they had gotten cold, they had stopped praying, they had stopped reading the Bible, they had stopped caring about God's will in their life. When you wake up in the morning, is your first thought, "Well, I have all this junk that I have to do. I have to run around like crazy. I'm way behind. I got a schedule to meet. I got to pay these bills." Is that what you think when you first wake up? That's not what I think. When I first wake up, I think, "God, thank you for letting me wake up today." And when I pull the covers back and I put my feet on the floor and I can stand on my own power and I can walk to the bathroom by myself, I thank God for that. And when you start your day like that, being grateful that God even woke you up, remember, every single day, 151,000 plus people die. There were 151,000 people alive on this earth this time yesterday who have died. And right now, there's 151,000 people alive on this earth who will be dead by this time tomorrow. And you don't thank God for waking you up every day you wake up? Maybe you don't hear from God because you start your day wrong. If you were to talk to my kids, they would tell you that our daily prayers were very, very, very simple. Thank you for your goodness and mercy, God. Thank you for the food on the table. Thank you for the clothes on our back. Thank you for the roof over our head. Sometimes that roof has been really fancy. Sometimes that roof has been very humble. But I just thank him for some kind of a roof over my head. Some days I'm eating steak and eggs. Some days I'm eating oatmeal. Some days it's just a piece of fruit and a cup of coffee. I thank him for the food, whatever the food is. It doesn't matter what the food is. It doesn't matter what the clothes are. It doesn't matter what type of roof you have over your head. I'm just grateful that I have a place to live. I'm just grateful that I had something to eat today. Now, when that's your attitude, you can be so much more willing to say to God, "Hey, God, since you woke me up today, would you let me get something done for you today, please? Since you woke me up today, would you let me talk to a lost soul about you today, God? Since you woke me up today, God, can I live for your glory today? Show me, Father, what I can do for you today." Just remember, every day that you wake up, 151,000 people didn't. and they went to bed with the same expectation that you had, that you would wake up the next morning. Every single day is a gift from God. And I don't just mean in a Hallmark movie, high-level perspective. I'm talking about every single day that God wakes you up, that is a gift that God has given you so that you can do something for Him. Jesus went to the cross and He shed His blood. He took the whip. He gave His back to the smiters. They plucked the beard off of His face. Why did He do that? He did it for you. He did it so you wouldn't have to go to hell. He did all that for you. Not in general. He did it specifically and on purpose for you as an individual. If you wake up tomorrow morning, can you give that day to God? Can you live for Him for one more day? On Friday, I have to go to a funeral for my friend Mark. Mark was one of my very first street preachers back in 2013. Not the very first, but he was in that freshman class. And now he's dead. And we're here. Doesn't matter how much time we have left. It doesn't matter what Anthony Fauci does. It doesn't matter what the COVID virus does or doesn't do. It doesn't matter who gets locked down and who has to wear a mask and who has to take a vaccine and who needs a vaccine passport in order to buy groceries. In the overall scheme of things, those things mean nothing. C.T. Studd. Only one life 'twill soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. 2 Corinthians 8:12. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. God may ask you to do big things for Him. God may ask you to do small things for Him. God may ask you to be willing to do something and then ultimately not call upon you to do it, but just to see if you would be willing to do it. If you want to know the will of God for you in your life, be willing on a daily basis to open up that book, talk with God, let Him talk with you. And if you're not saved, you need to get saved. If you're not saved, you need to understand that if you die tonight, you're going to open up your eyes in a place called hell, and there's no escape. There's no second chance. If you wind up in hell, you'll never get out. There will never be a reprieve. There will never be a midnight call from the governor. If you wind up in hell, that's it. It's over, you're finished, and it's done. But you don't have to go there. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, that's you, that He gave His only begotten Son, that's Jesus Christ, that whosoever, that's you, believeth in Him, Jesus, should not perish but have everlasting life. If you want heaven, you need the Savior. And there's only one. It's not Buddha. It's not the universe. It's not Allah. It's not Confucius. It's not the Roman Catholic Pope. It's not the Roman Catholic Church. It's not Mormonism or the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Seventh-day Adventists. The only name that's going to get you to heaven is Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. May you find Him now. And with that, we've come to the end of our Rightly Dividing Bible study for this evening. I thank you so much for tuning in. Lord willing, we're going to see you back here noon Eastern Standard Time this Friday. And this podcast that we're working on is going to be explosive. So just be prepared when you come on Friday. Lord willing, we have this program. It's going to be a barn burner. So just be ready for anything. because we have a really, really, really big show for you Friday, noon, Eastern Standard Time. Thank you for tuning in. Have a great rest of your week, everybody.